Jesus' name, that you would prepare our hearts for your word even now. And Lord, the topics that are before us, I pray that you'd cause the clock to stand still. I ask you, Father, now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. You guys know that by now. We are in this portion of Scripture, and we've been here for a while. We're going to be here for a little bit longer. I think you'll be benefited by it. But we've been looking at a message that has been up until now entitled, What Makes a Church Relevant? We've been looking at that in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 13. But this morning, the title shifts just a little bit. And the title is now today, Who Makes a Church Relevant? And I want you to write that down. Who makes a church relevant? The church should be a relevant organism in the world at all times. The church is alive, the Bible tells us, by the Holy Spirit. And so, who makes a church relevant? Of course, obviously, is going to be speaking to you and I. In fact, as I mentioned, what makes a church relevant in our previous studies? Today, who makes a church relevant? In weeks ahead, we're going to be looking at when a church is relevant. What does a relevant church look like? To be relevant means that the church is current. It's seated deeply upon the foundations of God's word that's eternal, never changing. But the church on that foundation is infused by God in every culture, in every spot on the planet to make a difference, to be relevant. There's nothing worse than a church that is not relevant to its culture, to its age. So follow along with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this morning, we'll really focus on verses 7 to 11. But just for context, you guys all know this, but let's do it. I'll begin reading at verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation, revelation, the display, what becomes obvious of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit, welfare, benefit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Verse 12. For as the body is one, that is the church, and it has many members, that is, it's made up of people like you and I. But all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. That is, that's how the world sees Jesus today in this world. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been to drink into one Spirit. Church, I'm going to ask you to look at these verses, very, very important as we get into the study today. And you're going to want to pay attention because we're going to hit these gifts and we'll address as much as we can regarding them today, but we'll spend a lot more time in them when we get to chapter 14. There's three verses I want you to write down that are key to all of this. Verse 1. The Bible says in chapter 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. In your Bibles there, circle the word ignorant. The Bible, Paul the Apostle, the Spirit of God is saying, you Christian, don't be uneducated about spiritual gifts. Know them. Next verse, look at verse 7. But the manifestation, revelation, display of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That is fundamental. Verse 1, verse 7, all deals with why we even need to speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and you and I being members of the body of Christ. And verse 11, I read it a moment ago. Look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This is exciting stuff, church, because to each one, that is each one of us this morning who are Christians, is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, has singled you out in the body of Christ as a believer, and he has bestowed upon you at least one gift that's supernatural. And we'll talk about that in some detail today. He decides this. He appropriates the distribution of the gifts. And if you're a Christian today, you have at least one gift. What for? You might say, well, Pastor, why do I need a gift from God regarding the body of Christ? I was anticipating your question. Ephesians 4 verse 12 tells us, you can write it down. Ephesians 4 12 says that it's for the equipping of the saints, for the working of ministry. That is, you and I need one another. Why? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Encouragement. All of us need encouragement. And it happens and it comes through the work of the Spirit in your life. Verse 13, Ephesians 4, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, or the word means complete, a total man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So awesome is this God-ordained appointment of a gift in your life that he doesn't leave it up to you and I to pick. The Holy Spirit, listen, you right now, don't be thinking about anybody else in this sanctuary today but you right now. God the Holy Spirit, when he invited you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, even prior to you saying yes, in his toolbox or in his work belt, God the Holy Spirit had a gift to give you. And that gift was appointed to you, according to the Bible, before the world was ever created. That gift, that place of ministry that every believer has in the church is in waiting, as it were. And the moment you accept Christ, some people discover their gift that week. Some people a year. Some people years. It all depends on how you're raised and brought up in the sense of biblical training and good Bible doctrine and being willing to be used. And this is an amazing thing because, listen, people today, it's human nature to criticize and to critique a church. Well, that church, I don't like that church because they don't have this or they've got this or whatever. Listen, as a Christian, please, can you guys hear me? As a Christian, we so often miss what God is saying to us. When he might say to us, let's say you're here today, you're visiting, and you say, this church needs the carpet cleaned. Don't look how bad the carpet is. And you say, boy, that carpet's bad. Boy, does it need to be cleaned. You know why it concerns you? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and showing you something. You see, what does carpet cleaning have to do with the gifts of the Spirit? It starts out that simple because guess what? Here's what happens. And we won't talk about this now. Chapter 14, we will. But it kind of works like this. You're here and you listen and you go your way, you go home. And all you can think about all week long is, man, that church needs that carpet cleaned. And I think I'd like to clean that carpet. You say, Jack, are you going to tell me that carpet cleaning is a gift given by the Holy Spirit? No. What I'm saying is the gift of helps is. Well, there's little handprints all over those windows back there. Somebody should do something about that. Did you know the reason why you saw it is because God showed it to you so that you would be the one to begin to exercise your gift? Are we not blowing it when we begin to criticize things all handling it wrong when God is saying, hey, you knucklehead, I just showed it to you so you could do something about it. On and on it goes. Oh, you'll see someone and your gut is ripped with compassion for them. Oh, if I could just do something. Stop right there. God is speaking to you, Christian. Because you just may have the gift of faith. We'll talk about this in a moment. Or administrations. We'll talk about that in chapter 14. So listen, before you criticize, take a big breath and back up and say, Lord, are you showing me something right now? Give me the right glasses to see the world and the church and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Give me the right glasses to see them. When Jesus Christ came to earth, He came at a time when the Roman Empire was suppressing Israel, as you can imagine. And Rome had emperor worship all throughout the kingdom. And the reason why the statement that you so comfortably say today, because you have the freedom to and the Spirit of God compels you, is Jesus is Lord. But listen, in the Roman Empire, if you said Jesus is Lord, you are a lunatic, because Caesar was Lord. And the church grew up in a dark, evil age. The church was born in Jerusalem under the occupation of the Roman Empire. But during that difficulty of persecution for hundreds of years, what happened? The church grew and grew and grew, and more was done in a dark time, in a difficult age, than maybe ever before. Why do I say this? Because right now you and I are living in an age where we need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because, church, isn't it dark out there? Aren't these difficult days? Is persecution looming? Are these challenging moments? Yes. Then we need the Holy Spirit at work in our lives like never before. This is an exciting time. Listen very quickly. The Bible says in Luke 10, verse 2, then Jesus said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest sends out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. The Bible says in John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Verse 13, however, when he, that is the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of it on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Christian, that's to be happening in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John 14, 16, and I will pray to the Father, Jesus said, and I will give you, or he will give you another comforter to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot accept, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's the Holy Spirit. Are you guys hearing me? This is a big deal. The Holy Spirit is relevant. He's God. And he's in you. And you and I are living in a dark age. And so we need the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit if we are going to be a relevant church. To not have the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in this church or in your life, we must be coasting on something. We must be gliding along in some name or some previous movement of God. And I hope you're with me in this in one spirit. I refuse to live like that. I'm not going to live off the past. I'm going to thank God for the past. And I'm going to look at it with confidence and say, Lord, if you did it then, you can do it now. But listen, God has you breathing today because the church is to be advancing into this world and being relevant. And I want you to have this as homework for you this week. Find out for yourself, what is it, as I study the word relevant, how does that apply to my life and the church? Acts chapter 1, verse 6 says, therefore, when Jesus had brought them together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall, what? Receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Notice the pathology. Next, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That's right where they were standing. In Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Awesome. Amazing. One final verse for this introduction. I've been mentioning week after week that the church is the most powerful force on earth. Everything that is needed for us to preach the gospel and win souls and deliver them from the path of hell and to bring love and everlasting life to the, at least to the minds of people that they might consider Christ. Everything's been given. There is no unrevealed power. We're not waiting for some nuclear reactor to empower the church. It's available now. And I want to put it this way. What a church Jesus has created. What a church Jesus has created. Not men, not the acts of men. Jesus says, In Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That is awesome. So listen, church, we so need to be taking our Christianity and making sure that it's not only living for an hour and a half every week, but it's living every day at every moment of our lives. So here we go. We've got one point this morning and it's going to take us the entire day. Are you ready? Point number one, who makes a church relevant? Point number one, verses 7 to 11, it's this. You and the Holy Spirit make a church relevant. You and the Holy Spirit make the church relevant. Number one in our study is this, found in verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Here it is. You do, my friend, you make the church relevant if you have the gift of wisdom. Write that down. And here's the great thing. I'm so excited because some of you are going to start waking up to, I think I might maybe have this gift. And as we go through this list today, you're going to say, that could be me. Or you might today say, I'm interested in that one. What is that all about? Mark it down. Verse 8, the gift or the word of wisdom. You have what it takes to make the church relevant if you have the gift of wisdom. The word wisdom here in Greek is Sophia. If your name is Sophia, by the way, in Greek, that's exactly what it means. You are the wise one. You are wise. But what kind of wisdom is this? Understand this very carefully. It is an unnatural wisdom. It's not of human origins. The word means that it's a revelation or infusion from God above. It's a wisdom that results in solutions. These are divine droplets of wisdom that God will give to a Christian, listen, who is in an environment that need of that gift is warranted. Now watch this. Watch how fun this is. Does it apply to the church? Yes, of course. Does it apply to my business where I work in the world? Yes, it does. Today, Christian, I love this. I'm going to say this, I think, a few times today because I love it. And if it blesses you, then God gave it to me. If it doesn't, then I made it up myself. But I think the Lord showed me this in preparation for this message. When you come here, are you coming to church? Or are you the church coming here? Do you know which one it is? Did it bless you? Then that's the Lord. Oh, let's go to church. No, you're driving to a building that houses the church, and the church ain't here unless you show up. And when you show up, you are the church. And when you leave, you are the church. We are the church. No, you know, and here's the amazing thing about it. Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit and the gift of wisdom doesn't stop as you leave the room. You don't walk out and it hits the door and the wisdom falls off into the and waits to the sanctuary for you to show back up. You take it with you. It's a 24/7 thing. And you can be at work and you guys have this huge conundrum. You can't figure it out. What's going on? And out of nowhere, this falls into your head and you're not even sure if it's a good idea or not. And you say, well, you know what? What if we plug three of these into one of those? And the guys will turn and they'll go, why didn't we think of that? Have you ever had that happen? In the church, wisdom is needed. And we pray, all of us as a church together, we will begin to pray, Lord, if you want me to have, or if you've given or apportioned to me this word of wisdom, I'm open, Lord. I'm open. But here's the thing, you guys. When you ask God to bestow or to magnify the gift that he's appropriated for you, he will not speak to you, he will not manifest it unless you are truly willing to use it. Amen. He will not, you cannot say, God, give me all the gifts. And you don't intend to use one of them. You're not willing to really use one of them. He won't answer you. Are you willing? The gift of wisdom. Wisdom is this application. It is the bringing of God's knowledge to light in a situation. There is a general wisdom that's available to every believer. This, listen, in James, we've all read it. In James chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask from God. That's the general request of every believer. That's not this gift. Every one of us as Christians have amazing wisdom available to us if we ask God. But this wisdom is a special elevated gift by God, and it's at work in a body, that is, some of you right here have it, and you see the answer to things. It's amazing. It's exciting. Solomon seemed to have, even though he obviously predated the New Testament gift, the Holy Spirit was giving gifts in the Old Testament, though. Think about it. Did Solomon not have, the Bible says he's the wisest guy that's ever lived. And the Bible says God gave him that wisdom. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, I think his name was Beziel. I'm going off of ancient, dusty memory here, you guys. I think his name was Beziel, the stone cutter during the temple building period. Did you know the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gave him the gift of stone cutting? God gifted this guy for the building of the temple to cut stones. Isn't that freaky weird? Now, that's not a gift listed in the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit will use someone with a divine gift to bring about his holy construction, if I can put it that way. The next thing is this, mark it down if you would. The next thing is, who makes the church relevant? The answer is you do, if you have the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge. What is the gift of knowledge? Look at this verse right here, verse 9. And to another is the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. The word knowledge here is where we get the word, or comes out of the word gnosis. Or you've heard of agnostic. Agnostic. A person who believes that there's a God, but he can't be known. That's an agnostic. An agnostic says that, there could be a God out there, but he can't be known. It's kind of a weird thing, agnostic. By the way, we get the English word ignoramus from the root word agnostic. It's kind of interesting, huh? Kind of wild, but that's not the word we're talking about today. We're talking about gnosis, and it means the knowing or having knowledge given to you by God. Not from earthly means. It comes from God. And it's deposited in you in that moment. The factual knowledge of something that is not humanly available. It's interesting because in the Greek, one of the words that appears, listen to this, is the knowledge of something that is revealed from God to understand something around you. And the word that is dropped in there in the meaning of the Greek is the word science. That's a far cry from what we often see today. Science is the study of something that is tangible. You can reproduce it. You can do it. You can watch it. You can apply it. Isn't it amazing that God, who's the engineer of science, put it in the hearts of men and women to love science and to search it out and to find these wonderful mysteries that have been locked away? And God brings them out. The same thing is true regarding your function as a Christian in the church. You might want to ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to have the word of knowledge? And say, well, what is that? What you will, just as the person, and by the way, sometimes they'll work hand in hand. They'll often work, by the way, in a project together, in an effort together among other believers, where there's a word of wisdom and then a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge will be something like this. Somebody will say, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's in a message, maybe it's in a time of prayer and waiting upon the Lord, or like an afterglow setting. You might be here praying, God, I just don't know what to do about this whole thing. Do I sell the house and take that job? Do I do this? Do I move this stuff here and then divide part of it? And you're just right there. Right? And someone in the room or someone you're talking to, God gives them this thought and they say it. They say, well, you know what? We've seen it happen here before on a Wednesday night when we have our afterglow settings, where someone will say, there's someone here tonight and they're asking God if they should be doing this thing or that thing. And it's very detailed. And you're going, oh my goodness, whoa, could this be the word of knowledge? And they'll say, the Lord in Scripture has said thus. So it will always be purely biblical, never contradict the Scripture ever. When that person's done speaking it, you can find a chapter and verse that confirms it. The Holy Spirit cannot change. It's impossible for him to change what the Word has revealed. It deposits into the listener's heart this amazing understanding of what they should do. And the body is strengthened. You hear it. You say it. This guy needs it. He receives it. He tells his friends or the small group or the Wednesday night group. You know what happened? Last week this was said. That was the answer to my dilemma. It was a word of knowledge. God be glorified. And everybody goes, yes! The body of Christ is edified. I love it. The next thing is this. Who makes the church relevant? You do if you have the gift of faith. This is amazing. I hope you get some answers out of this. This is great. The gift of faith. You say, Pastor, wait a minute. Don't we all have the gift of faith? We're believers. No, that's not what we're talking about. We are not talking about saving faith. We're not talking about faith that a person comes to Jesus and puts trust in him. The gift of faith is an amazing thing. First of all, the definition of it is a strong persuasion, a deep conviction, a special, abnormal reliance upon God. Listen, it's elevated faith. The word means to be displayed. Listen, through danger, suffering, evil, challenges, hardship. It is a profound faith which enables someone to endure otherwise impossible situations. Now, all of a sudden, I see something about this gift of faith. Have you met, do you know people? I know them. Whose life, they love Jesus, they're doing everything right, and their life is filled with trouble. I don't mean trouble brought on them because they licked the wall socket and blew their eyeballs out. That's stupidity. I'm not talking about those kinds of troubles. I'm talking about they're battling cancer. A friend of mine went home to be with Jesus a year and a half ago, and 1 year after she was married, she came down, she had cancer. She battled cancer almost 30 years, 7 different forms of cancer. She looked like a doll that had been sewn back to pieces. She finally went home to see Jesus. That woman's faith made me sick to my stomach with embarrassment. Lisa and I would get in the car and drive away from the hospital, and we'd look at each other and say, do we even know the same God she knows? You ever know anybody like that? They are so rock solid, firm, and sure, and they've gone through all this trouble, and their faith glows. And what does it do to you when you meet that person? What does it do to you when you experience that person? You experience this. I know that if I'm called to do that, God will see me through. When you see that kind of a person who's got the gift of faith, listen, I don't know how to break it to you. If you have the gift of faith, unusual faith, you will be displaying mightily the power of God to sustain you, to keep you through endurance. It's a natural question for people to say, why do some people in the church suffer so much and others don't? Some of them, it's because they have the gift of faith. And the world and the church is watching them lay hold of the promises of God in ways that you and I might struggle with. Amen. Are you struggling today? You might want to ask God, are you telling me that I have the gift of faith? That you've given me an amazing ability to trust you against all circumstances, that my faith does not waver and I stand sewn back together upon the rock, and I'm not going to move, Lord. I'm going to hang on to you. Is that what you've called me to do? And the Lord might say to you, that's exactly what I've called you to do. And that's when you and I say, yes, Lord. Amen. We are Christians, and we follow Jesus into every aspect of his life, whereby he calls us to be a witness of him. He's amazing. Faith. The Bible says in Matthew 14:27, this is an example of faith, supercharged faith or faithfulness. But immediately Jesus, when he spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered Jesus and said to him, remember, Jesus is walking on water, Peter's in the boat. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. What a bizarre request. So he answered and said, come. And Peter came down out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. That is a revelation of the gift of faith right in that moment. A troublesome, difficult situation. The boat was going to sink in their minds. The storm was huge. This is impossible. I can never get out of this situation. I'm going to go down. I'm going to sink. And the Lord might say something to you. He might say something like, be encouraged, or I'm with you. Maybe you have a thought in your mind and he says, I'll never leave you. And then you respond, Lord, if that's you, I'm coming. If that's you, I'm stepping out, Lord. If that's you, I'm going to take this leap right now, Lord. And guess what? He has put that whole prompting in your heart and you step in faith. Peter had to leave that boat. And you know, Peter, that was abnormal faith for Peter. Next, look at this. Next, who makes the church relevant? You do if you have the gift of healings. Circle the word healings. The S is plural. This is amazing. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And in this is the gifts of healings. Healings here. The word means to present whole again. The word means to restore to the original or to normal. Listen, the word also means to restore to life. That's why the word is plural here. It's not only to pray for someone that they might be healed. But the Bible here, and this works so perfectly. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples, the apostles, when you go, go preach the gospel. I'll read it here in a moment. But he sent them out to do all these great works. And one of them was not only heal the sick, but to raise the dead. Amen. That's awesome. Healings that bring honor and glory to God. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Healings. Now watch this. When we talk about healings, think of this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, as you go, preach the kingdom. That is the gospel. Jesus came, or Jesus is coming. In this case, it was real time. And your sins are going to be forgiven you. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely have you received. Freely give. Church family, listen, there's no expiration date on that verse. You say, well, I haven't seen anybody raised from the dead. I haven't either, but it doesn't mean that it cannot happen. It may have happened somewhere in the world where it's very remote and the word of God is not there yet, but there's a believer there. And the signs and wonders that are done by the believers give confirmation to the preaching and teaching of the word. See, today we're messed up. We are so polluted with the way that we think in our culture because we chase the miracles and signs and wonders and we miss the gospel. We miss the doctrine. People are saying, come to the healing service. Come to the miracle service. And if the gospel's not preached, I'm worried. Well, pastor, whatever. I don't care. I got my eyesight back at a thing like that. It was really goofball. And they didn't talk about Jesus, but it happened. Listen, I don't know how you got healed. But the Bible's very clear that there's ways, there are manifestations that can take place that have nothing to do with God. Did you hear that? The Bible says as we approach the end, that's going to increase. Deceiving miracles. But just because there's deceiving miracles doesn't mean that God is out of the business of doing miracles himself. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 40, but when Peter put them all out of the room, he knelt down and he prayed and he turned to the body, that's the dead body, and he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. That'll freak you out. But you know what's cool? It didn't freak Peter out, apparently, because Peter knew enough. He, by the way, he copied Jesus. He watched Jesus. Jesus had everybody get out of the room, and he had Peter, James, and John there, and he prayed, and the young man arose. In this case, Peter's got a young maiden, and he prays for her, and she arises. And I don't think Peter went, oh my gosh, can you believe this happened? James, John, get in here! No way. What caused him to pray was the root, I believe God can do this. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can do the radical stuff? Yeah. Just because we don't see it much doesn't mean he's not willing to do it or able to do it. You see why it's so important that you and I have a revival in our lives to see what God wants to do? Well, I don't think he's going to do that in my life. Well, you're exactly correct. Next thing. Who makes the church relevant? You do if you have the gift of miracles. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all in this area of miracles. The word miracles here, dunamis, you've heard that word before. It means supernatural powers. Some of your Bibles don't even have the word miracle in it. Some of your Bibles have the word powers. And that's okay. The original Greek word is powers. But it's the powers to do miraculous things. And miraculous things, it's not like winning the lotto or getting the, no. Man, tell, you have the gift of miracles? Give the numbers for the next, no, that's not what it is. The Bible says in Matthew 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence. That's a negative statement. The kingdom of God's under attack, but the violent take it by force. I want you to look at that verse. By the way, you guys, this is one of the most avoided verses in Christendom today because a lot of people don't take the time to understand this. You guys are going to master this in a moment. From the days of John the Baptist was preaching the gospel and he was not well received. Until now, Jesus was speaking. The kingdom of heaven, that's the preaching of the gospel, the kingdom of heaven, suffers violence. It's under attack. Ladies and gentlemen, is not your faith under attack today? Did I not just read a portion of the governor's bill that attacks doctrine? You will be attacked. This world will not be friends of the gospel. But don't worry. Don't be upset. Why? The violent take it by force. What does that mean? It doesn't mean what you're thinking. It doesn't mean that we are to rise up and conquer in a physical sense. It means this is beautiful because it's a double statement. One is in the negative, the church is under attack. But the church in the positive advances. How does that happen? The violent take it by force? You and I are supposed to be the church militant in the earth today. Amen. That doesn't mean throw rocks or cut off people's heads. That's for others to do. That's not what we do. What we do is we take the word of God, we believe it, and we advance the kingdom of God by faith and obedience in the word of God and the Lord Jesus, and we love our enemies, we preach the truth, we stand for what's right, we advance the kingdom by our salt and lightness of being a believer. The violent is not a negative. It is the positive. The aggressive, the believer truly believing it takes it forward. That's what it means. Sign me up. That's what I want. That's what we want to have happen in our lives. And the kingdom, guess what? The kingdom of God will, it will advance. By the way, it will advance with or without you and I. Remember, the kingdom was going to go ahead with or without Esther. You and I have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this, is the Bible. The next thing is this. The gift of prophecy. Who makes the church relevant? You do if you have the gift of prophecy. Now let me tell you, the gift of prophecy, the word means this. Having the ability to both proclaim something that comes to pass in honor of God, to proclaim it, and the ability to put forth or to present a revelation from God. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean, so you can all be set at ease. The word prophecy here does not mean to foretell the future. Maybe some of you say, oh man, I want that gift. I want to be able to know the future. That's not what it means. The word prophecy here means to forthtell, not foretell, forthtell the word of God, the truth of God. So when we talk about prophecy, it's the ability to proclaim a God-given gift whereby a person has no supernatural problem. Hear me out. He or she has no supernatural problem standing up or getting behind a microphone or standing on the street corner or talking to somebody at the store and proclaiming the truth of God. The gift of prophecy. In fact, the gift of prophecy is happening right here, right now, as it's proclaimed. Billy Graham is the Greg Laurie, the gift of prophecy. Chuck Smith. You see, those are teaching gifts. No, listen, some of the gifts overlap one another. Yes. To proclaim, to make known the revelation of God. This is very needed today in an age where the word of God is often rejected. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, here he goes, raised his voice and said to them, that's it. What did he say? Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's the third hour of the day, but this is which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he begins to speak about the day of Pentecost. He with the gift of prophecy, proclaimed the truth of God. It is awesome. You say, how do I know if I have this gift? You will have an intense burden to correct falsehood or proclaim the truth where it's absent or vacant. Somebody next to you might not even think that way. And you will say, you know what? Someone should say something about this. Someone should quote this verse. This situation that's happening. There needs to, and it really concerns you. And it's all biblically based. It's done by the Spirit of God. And there's unity. And there's power. The next is this. Who makes the church relevant? You do, if you have the gift of discernment. Look at verse 10. And another, the discerning of spirits. The word here to discern spirits is the word that means, watch this, it's an interesting word. It means to hesitate. You say, what? The discerning of spirit, watch this. You're talking to somebody and somebody's saying something to you and you just met them or you're getting to know them and there's a hesitation. Something wrong here. There's something strange. I can't put my finger on it. You know what I'm talking about, people? By the way, this is a very, very, it's always needed, but thank God it is very prevalent in the life of many believers. I've seen brand new believers, Christians only a few hours old, a few days old, have it, where God's protecting them, where somebody comes up and says, hey, did you know that Jesus went around the world on a skateboard? And they'll go, you know what? There's something wrong here. Have you ever been talking to somebody about spiritual things or you just, and it's just something wrong? I just can't put my finger on it. Something's wrong. There's somebody like that or there's people like that in all of our lives. There's just something. What is it? What? I don't know. Many times when you have this, somebody will say to you, oh, I think you're crazy. He's fine. She's fine. They're fine. So, okay, I don't know. Something's weird. Listen, when we start to feel like that and sense that, God is speaking to us. And you and I will either say, I'm going to fast, pray, I'm going to get on my knees, I'm going to ask God about this. Or we will do this, and this is very prevalent. We will say, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have thought that thought. Well, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I shouldn't be thinking thoughts like that. I should be kind and loving and gentle. And we misinterpret what God's saying. He's warning us, and we turn around and ask him to forgive us for this thought in our mind when it's from him. And he's saying, watch out. Discernment. In a non-gift manner, I believe that God gives a form of discernment to parents. God gives a form of discernment to a married couple, husband and wife. But this is a special gifting of discernment. Next, who makes the church relevant? You do if you have the gift of tongues. This is obviously, you've been waiting for me to get to this part. You've been looking at your watch saying, oh my goodness, when's he going to get to the gift of tongues? I need to hear all about this one. Well, listen, we'll cover it more in chapter 14, but let's just deal with this here right here now as we come to near the end of this. To another, different kinds of tongues. The word in Greek here means tongues of this earth, tongues of languages. Listen to this. And again, we'll get into detail in chapter 14. This verse, this usage is this: an unacquired language spoken by someone who doesn't know the language. It's deposited supernaturally in them in an instant. It is spoken by them. They'll say something. It's a gathering of one of two settings. Chapter 14 will clarify this when we get there. Number one, it will be a setting of believers. Or number two, it will be a setting of non-believers for a specific purpose. In this context, the gift of tongues is a miraculous deposit from heaven in an instant where someone, for example, imagine yourself right here, right now. You're with me and we are in a village in Russia. None of us speak Russian. And we're visiting a little orphanage and you're talking to some people. We have team members. We're broken up into different parts of this orphanage. out of nowhere, you have this amazing understanding, not understanding, you have this amazing prompt. I need to say something to him. I can't communicate to him. I need to say something about God, about Jesus, about, I need to, and listen, please don't be offended by this. If you start rolling your eyes in the back of your head and start shaking, please understand something. I'm not denying that you're having some sort of an experience, but that's not the gift of tongues in this chapter here. The gift of tongues is a deposit of a language that's of this world that you don't know, but the person opposite you knows it. And you can't communicate to them. And God gives it to you. You open your mouth, and here's your thoughts. They're going to be like this. Oh boy, am I going to look like an idiot? But, and you start speaking perfect Russian to this guy. You don't have a clue what you're saying. This guy falls on his knees, starts crying, and accepts Christ. And you are wondering, what just happened? It doesn't happen as much globally as it once did. It doesn't mean it's done. Where the word of God is printed and brought into languages of their own reading, it's not so prevalent. But understand this. Those of you who have had Pentecostal upbringings, get a load of this. Some of you are going to be set free right now. Because the Holy Spirit gives sovereignly to some people as he wills these gifts. And some of you have been told that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit. And that is a demonic doctrine. Not everyone has the gift of healing. Not everyone has the gift of miracles. Not everyone has the gift of tongues. That's what the Bible says. Well, that's not what my previous church said. I don't care what they said. If it's not in the Bible, don't believe it. So listen to this. Case in point. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, that is in unity, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, that's little sparkly flames, as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance, the Holy Spirit was in control of them. Verse 4 is key. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. And they were confused. Because, well, listen. A better word would be, they were dumbfounded, shocked. Why? Because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? They don't know our languages. How is it, verse 8 says, that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Latin, both Jews and proselytes, those have been converted, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. Verse 11, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Tongues only can only and biblically do only speak the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Tongues, listen, never can there be a message delivered in tongues. That's a violation of the Bible. The Holy Spirit's not in it. Tongues only and always gives glory and honor to God. It's praise. Tongues is a form of praise. Well, Pastor, are we going to have a message today in tongues? I hope not, because it won't be the Lord. But the church I came from, we had messages. That lady had a message. He had a message. They had a message. We all had a message. Listen, that's absolutely emotionalism. There is no such thing as a message in tongues. That's aberrant Pentecostal theology. It's not in the Bible. Very, very important. And then finally, we end with this, the interpretation of tongues, verse 10. What makes the church relevant? Who does? You do. If you have the gift of the interpretation of tongues, this is amazing. And we'll get a lot more of this in chapter 14. But this word means to make known what is said, to bring others into the hearing of a foreign language, unfamiliar with them. You say, what in the world is that? Well, this is actually a big additional shot in the arm. And we'll begin to wrap this up this way. Imagine for a moment. Again, it's not going to happen here, you guys. Not this type of earthly tongues. The Bible talks about three types of tongues in Scripture. There's the kind that we're speaking about here, that is an earthly knowable language, unknown to the speaker. Then there's the what the Bible says, the tongues of angels, which is some heavenly language. And then the other word is used for ecstatic speech. Most often you see that in prayer. Well, again, we'll cover that in detail later. Check this out. Imagine if you, again, are with me and we are in Brazil, and we are in the jungles of the Amazon. And we come up on a group of people, and we don't even plan on this. We're startled. Oh, my goodness. Do we have any, what do you think they read? What kind of Bibles? Do we have Brazilian? Do we have Portuguese? We've got, what Bible? None of these people don't have any language that we know of. And you're trying to communicate to them. You're trying to draw pictures of the cross and Jesus, and they're going, and a person can speak to you, the group, and someone in the group hears what that guy just said. Just heard what that pygmy, that little pygmy guy with a spear, what he just said. Not that pygmies are in Brazil, but Australia, but wherever. So check this out. He says something like, and here's your group of 10, and you got it. I think he just said, I'll have a Whopper or double cheese. These are amazing manifestations. Listen. In fact, look at verse 11, and we'll end here. Look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Notice capital H, as he wills. God is not going to say, watch, he's not going to say this. Hey, church, thanks for coming. Okay, well, so you guys don't get bored. I'm going to give you guys the gift of this and the gift of this and the gift of that and the gift of the other thing, and you guys can all just have a party. Oh, no. No, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and you can run around the sanctuary barking and playing leapfrog in the spirit. Nope. I'm going to do this so you guys can slap each other on the forehead and you all fall down. But just make sure you have somebody to catch you so you don't crack your head. Nope. He says, I'm giving you this. Now watch this. And I'm done. I'm done. So wake up and watch this. And listen. If you sitting here right now, if you can hear my voice, if you decide I'm going to be absolutely sold out for Jesus, I know I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be sold out, completely crazy for God. And I am yielding my life to him. I'm going to trust him completely. And I'm going to start seeking him this week to show me what gift or gifts he wants me to exercise in the body of Christ. Knowing full well that what you're saying is, I am no longer going to sit in the pews at Calvary Chapel. I'm no longer going to sit around. I'm going to stand up like Peter did. And I'm going to fill my lungs. And if God puts a broom in my hand, if God puts whatever that's listed in the gifts of the Spirit, I will do that with all of my might to the glory of God. If you are sitting here today and that's your heart, you're saying, Jack, I want God to have every inch of me, every corner of me, and I don't want to hold anything back, then I humbly and lovingly say, welcome to my world. I love that too. I love that. If I can't live like that, I don't want to live. Amen. And so, watch what happens in your life. God is going to start speaking to you. You may go out this week. You may go out today. And you might see someone. You might hear of a situation. You might talk to someone. And they're telling you, or you see something, and you are so moved with compassion for them. It almost makes you sick. And you look at them, and you'll have a thought like this. Oh, God. Lord, if I could do something about that right now, I would. Stop right there. When that happens to me, I have to stop right there and say, Lord, now wait a minute. You are all-powerful God. Why am I even looking at this person right now that's crippled like this? Why do I even care? Why has this caught my attention? Oh, God in heaven, please don't let me weak out. Don't let me wimp out on this. I'm going to go over there. I'm just going to pray for them. And you go over. And you say, listen, I don't want to freak you out. I'm a Christian. And I saw that you have a severe injury here. And please, I don't want to upset you in any way, but just can I pray for you? And just pray. Don't make it some big deal. You can even pray silently. You'll know that God is working you into, for example, that case might be the gift of miracles, because you would pray and a supernatural thing takes place in the way of a healing. And you'll know it's God speaking because, and I've done this far too many times, if I don't obey him and I walk away from that person's situation, and I'm going like, God, man, that's such a heart-rending thing. It tears me up. Oh, God, that's amazing. And I walk away. I just feel like beating myself up for days because the haunting thought is, what did he want to do? What did he want to do? And I'm begging of you, to please live your life like this. Please become so sensitive to him that when he says something, I know it's going to sound nuts to you. That's the whole thing. It's that when he does it, the person walks away touched by God and you crawl away on your face, humbled by God. Amen. And somebody says, wow, man, did you see that? You prayed for that guy and his eyes opened up. You'll be the first one to say, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give to you. And you will never be the same. Only accept that form of Christianity. There's none other. Amen. Father, as a church, as a people, today we beg of you, God, to so manifest your Holy Spirit through our lives today as sold out vessels of yours. There's too much pain. There's too much what the world calls social injustice. Social this, social that. None of those things need to even be if we would just wake up and be the church. Too many people hungry today. Too many people naked today. Too many people in need today. And we have you. Our baskets are full. Our vessels are full. And dear God in heaven, I'm asking you, Lord, I'm begging you to take, if you don't, I'm hoping you have total control of this church, but if you don't, take it back. And I'm asking you, Father God, to descend upon this body of believers, these Christians, we who are yours, and we would never settle for a watered-down version. May we leave this place different today. And we thank you for the cross. That we can even live this life because Jesus died on the cross for us. He paid our sin debt we couldn't pay on our own to set us free. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the power. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.